Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Okay. You're looking a little ragged here. They've been running you around with all these events here, huh?
Oh, man. Last week, it's all good, though, but last week was just one thing after the other.
It's not easy living the rad life.
It's not easy living the rad life. That's what I keep people telling me. They want to live the rad life. You know what? Kids, don't try this at home.
That's right.
We think we're professionals. But it was all good. It was all good. I had a culmination of about 6 months worth of stuff relevant to being involved or having promised that I would take part in certain things that are nonprofits. One of the things that occupied a good amount of the end of the week was the inaugural Kasem Cares Conference on Aging.
And yeah, so we're going to talk about today.
We're going to talk about that today, and there's a couple of things kind of, you know, my life is an alignment of different things, I guess. You know, when we first started the show over a year ago now, I can't even believe
Did
I just say that? Yeah, over a year ago. We basically had as our first guest on the show, Carrie Kasem, who is Casey Kasem's daughter.
Yeah.
Who,
and what a story. Oh, my goodness.
And
she's the daughter from the first marriage, and then he died, and he had this... I thought she seemed like this bubbly, wonderful wife.
He got remarried, and...
Gene or something.
Gene Kasem.
Hide Casey.
And it was really traumatic for the family and the kids.
So he's sick, he's really faltering, he's failing, and she's moving him literally around the country so the kids from the first marriage can't find him.
Yeah, well, and you know, he was diagnosed, turns out, erroneously with Parkinson's, and we'll talk a little bit about that too, because I had the honor and privilege to actually moderate a panel on dementia. Thank you, Carrie Kasem, for letting me do that. And there was a bunch of people, some of whom have been guests on this show, Angela Clark from Living Your Choice, and Patty Mouton from Alzheimer's, Vice President of Alzheimer's, Orange County. And it was really eye-opening. You know, the misdiagnosis of different types of dementia is very common. Casey was in a very vulnerable state and was abused. And his kids had no...
Go Google it. Read the story.
Read the story about Casey Kasem. And, you know...
Famous guy, final years of his life, shuttled around, horrible things happening to him, people fighting over him. First wife won't let the wife from the first marriage and the kids from the first marriage see him and get to him and all this stuff.
And it was all about, you know, the kids are trying to get the money, and it wasn't about the money. It was just they wanted to see their dad.
Yeah.
And
make sure that he...
Come to find out that even when you got to court, even though Casey had actually... They kind of saw it coming, so they had him actually videotape saying that I want to see my kids.
Yeah.
Even with that, the judge could not rule on the right of children to visit their parent. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Up till a year ago, okay...
Children had no right
to legally ask to see their parent. The law is such that it basically gave all those rights
to the
spouse.
Right.
And you can just let your mind go kind of crazy about possible abuse and distancing and isolation, all this stuff.
Well, we live in a society where second marriages, third marriages are not uncommon. So there are children created out of all those marriages.
In fact, baby boomers, 50% are divorced is a statistic. So
imagine if you, all of you that have parents who have been divorced, imagine if they get remarried and that new spouse says, for whatever reason, you ain't going to see your dad.
Yeah, I just don't feel like it. I'm not going to let you guys have access to your parents. And you, up till a year ago...
You're going to upset him. I don't like you or something.
Had no ability whatsoever to basically legally require or request the right to see your parent. And that was the case And I urge you guys to go to Podbean, Rad Life, or Rad Gantus, and I'll post a link. Go back to the first show. It's also on our Facebook page. We commemorated that one-year anniversary with it. And listen to Carrie's own words on this. And
mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling, absolutely. And she had Carrie Jones with her, a friend and a supporter of the Kasem Care Foundation, and very involved, who also shared her story relevant to her uncle, who basically was going through the same stuff.
Even more separation, because she wasn't a direct child of him, but she wanted to see her
uncle.
She
actually was the person who was living on the West Coast. Her family's from the East Coast. The family lost contact with the uncle. They wanted her to go find him. And she went to the house, couldn't get hold of him. He wasn't there. She literally gave up her entertainment career and made it her job to her quest to find her uncle, and literally found him because his name was on a wall. I mean, she went to a hospital, she went to assisted living facilities, and she says that when she found him, he was basically sitting in a wheelchair or somewhere in a chair wearing a Pooh Bear T-shirt. It wasn't even his own clothes.
Yeah.
And saying,
out of it.
And when he saw her and she introduced herself and said, "Hi, you remember me?" She said, and Carrie, if you're listening, I'm sorry if I'm not getting this exactly right, but he said, "I thought nobody cared anymore, or nobody cared about me, or they forgot about me." So,
and didn't he have a second wife? And again, it was he had somebody that was keeping him locked away,
He had gotten remarried,
right?
And his second wife basically had put him on. And I'm hoping to have a gentleman who's working closely with the Kasem Care Foundation, Carrie Kasem, and Lisa Caprelli, who's the head of the Kasem Foundation, to call in and after the break to share this movie about this movie that they're basically trying to put together that's called Isolated. And because isolation is the first step towards elder abuse.
Oh, yeah.
And the mission of the Kasem Care Foundation is basically literally putting a stop to elder abuse. I've got two awareness bracelets on. I've been wearing them since the conference. Taking the message on the road, if you will.
Yeah.
And so isolation is elder abuse.
And you don't think of that right away. You think of abuse as hitting them, denying them food or something that's physical. And yet the physical act of isolating them is probably the most abusive of all, or maybe not the most of it, but it's certainly abusive.
Yeah, it's. I mean, this is the most vulnerable part. It's almost like a child, literally. I mean, we talk about jokingly, you start life wearing diapers and you end life wearing diapers. Seniors are as vulnerable
Children. I'm wearing them right now.
You're wearing diapers?
Yeah.
Thank you. How do I even get that image out of my head now? Thank God I didn't have lunch yet. It would have been a disaster in the studio today. But the thing about it is, we would never, ever, ever, ever stand for that kind of behavior towards a child.
No.
We wouldn't even stand towards that behavior.
Take a child and lock him in a room and deny everybody access to him.
We wouldn't even stand for that for a pet.
No.
And yet, what do we do? We basically just forget about it and turn a blind eye, it seems, as a society when it comes to seniors. Well, fortunately for us all that are all heading towards getting older and getting into that vulnerable, frail kind of state of life.
Not me. I'm Peter Pan.
Peter Pan in a diaper. See, I can't get him out of my head now. Paul, diaper. Now,
yeah, right.
Okay. So, well, you know, but you're dependable. Bad joke.
Okay.
So the thing about it is...
I think I just went to the bathroom.
Oh, God. Bathroom humor, ladies and gentlemen, on the Rad Life. There is no limits to this show. Okay? We will go to all depths.
Grandson,
I got to stop this. This is not going to
my 2-year-old grandson will stop. He'll suddenly go, "Grandpa." And then I go, "What?" And he won't say anything for a second. He went, "Whatever, potty or something, poo-poo." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Thank you for telling me that."
Well, you know what? I appreciate that. But it goes to show again that a person in your maturity and seasoning has a common bond with your grandchild who is how old?
2.
Okay. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We got to take care of our seniors as we take care of our...
Let me tell you one other silly story. So we're trying to potty train him. Everybody's trying to potty train him now. And so you have to reward him, obviously, when he tells you he's got to go to the bathroom in time that you can take him to the toilet, right? So we've been doing this a lot, and the other day he's at our house, and I left him. He said, you know, like, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm right back. And as soon as I walk out of the bathroom, he comes over, and he's two, and he high-fives me and says, good job, Grandpa. You know, so everybody rewards him. He thinks he has to return the favor.
That is pretty funny.
What was the last time somebody, you know, gave you a high-five for going to the bathroom?
I felt high all day.
I thought it was just a cool thing.
You know, now let me ask you this.
I felt proud of myself.
Let me ask you this, though, okay? And then we're leaving this topic,
yes.
Okay? But if I had high-fived you when you came in from the bathroom, would it have had the same feeling as your grandchild high-fived?
Probably not.
Not exactly. Right.
Probably not.
So I think keep it in the family.
But it is a nice gesture. So when you see somebody come out of the bathroom, give them a high-five, say good job.
You know what? In the environment that we're dealing with these days, thank you, North Carolina, and Governor of North Carolina with the transgender bathroom thing and so forth, and Target and
all
the old...
I do not
want to talk about bathroom mirror.
Okay, all right.
Okay. All right. So, but what I was saying is, we are all going to be in that point of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Okay. We all know somebody that potentially it's a parent or a friend or a neighbor that could potentially be that. Never ever turn a blind eye to anything that looks like it could be an abuse or neglect or isolation or, you know, lack of dignity in way that people are being treated. Your benchmark should be, would you allow yourself to go on and say nothing if you saw a child being dealt with like that? If that's the answer is no, when a senior, you should basically report it. You know, educate yourself. Organizations like KSM Care are amazing at what they do, honestly. A year ago, there were no laws, on the books in any state in this country that gave you as a child a right to visit your parent.
That is so mind-blowing. Think of everybody listening right now. Imagine if your parents, maybe they have been divorced, maybe they are remarried. I remember when my mom died and my dad was talking about getting remarried. And no, we didn't like the second wife. There is conflict there. You know, she took the place of mom, and she, in many ways, I felt, was trying to cut me out or push me away. I don't know. For money or just for power or whatever, but there was conflict there. Fortunately, in my life, they didn't get married. They ended up breaking up. But had that gone through, and had she then told me that I could not see my father in the final days of his life, I would have gone absolutely bananas. And I would have assumed that my right trumped hers. I'm his child, his only child.
Right. Right. This
woman who enters his life late in life for a year suddenly assumes total control over his life. Wow.
Yeah. No. It's mind-boggling. I mean, the fact that in this day and age, in this country, excuse me, we did not have the right as a child to ask to visit,
yeah,
not
right.
probate, just visit.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Is unbelievable. And because of the efforts of KSM Care,
that's changed.
We have 6 states that have laws on the books, and
Phenomenal.
There are bills in as many states that are now basically being pushed to basically guarantee that you as a child have the right to request legally to visit your parents.
And you know what struck me out of this whole equation is, again, my own experience. Many seniors are lonely. So they find another widower, and suddenly it's love. And you say, oh, great, dad or mom, they're going to be happy now here. I hope that you get along with this new person because they step into your life. You're in your 60s. Your parents are in your 80s or 90s or whatever here.
Right.
And that new person steps into your life, and should they marry them, takes over total control, not just of the money, but of the end-of-life decisions, what kind of care they get, if they get care. They're in total control of that person's life because a spouse's right trumps a child's right.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. That's the way the law is written. It just blows my mind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you picture your parents? I know your parents are together and everything's still around. Can you imagine if something happened and dad remarried and all of a sudden he's doddering and he's out of it and this new woman says you can't see him?
Yeah, the abuse and the isolation. I am. I'm going to need some water here. But the abuse can be not to pick on the spouse only, but it may be the child of the spouse from another marriage. You know, there are cases where it's another person that is basically
taking control. So this is what I should do, and you don't have any say anymore. You, the child. have no say in your own parents' final days should there be an intervening spouse.
Well, you could prepare for it all day long. Right, you could prepare for it. You could get all the paperwork in place. You can get the will,
spell it out, Dad, before he lost
the advance directives, all the stuff they tell you, right? But up to a year ago, all of that fell apart, if you still had a conflict, you could not ask for what in my book would be a basic right.
You would think it is,
right? Yeah, a basic right to visit your parents.
So these are the kinds of issues that we keep examining in the show that nobody has ever thought about. So many of this stuff is new litigation. Here we are in the 21st century, and so many of these things, because we're living longer than we ever had, because we're in that life experiencing more families, more things, more costs, more everything, all of these issues keep coming up over and over and over again. What was the one that a couple of weeks ago somebody was talking about, litigation? What was that? That if somebody did something and you could be... If you become the executor of your parents' estate, power of attorney,
that you could basically be liable.
Yeah,
that you basically could be liable because it was about driving. It was about giving up of driving. Like
that
if you actually set yourself up as a executor of your parents' estate, or you
and
somehow,
you know they shouldn't be driving, and you let them, and they hit somebody. Theoretic, she said, there's never been a case like that, but there's people speculating that some bright lawyer is going to say, you know what, your dad was driving and showing, or your mom, you knew it. I'm going to sue you because you were in charge of their life.
Yeah, because legally, you were made a
executor,
decider,
the power of attorney, or
decider on them. And so if your parents, then basically, what comes with that responsibility is you now are responsible to having that tough conversation about mom and dad, maybe you shouldn't be driving anymore.
Yeah. In the same way that if, let's say, your 14-year-old grabbed the car, not uncommon, kids try and get the car and go for a spin or something, a joyride, it's not unheard of. And those kids hurt somebody.
Yeah, let me just say, too,
you are liable for your child's actions.
Let me preface this conversation as saying that none of us in this room, neither Paul nor I, are legal experts.
No.
So before the lawyers start calling me and saying, under these conditions, this would be different, whatever,
right.
I'm just talking in terms of principle. What we are, when we are approaching this point in life, there's a lot of serious stuff that this show, we pride ourselves on having conversation about this tough topics and bringing them to you in a certain light that maybe you haven't thought about, and basically encouraging you to be empowered by having the conversations, as difficult as they may be today, because tomorrow those conversations you may not have the ability to have them, let alone if you have them, they may be much more difficult,
right,
and under dire, heaven forbid, circumstances. So when it comes to this, there are many layers that you really have to engage in.
Yes.
This particular thing blew my mind, and I think Paul's as well, when we start talking about this. And wait a minute. We encourage everybody to basically engage and be named as executor of the state, named as a person who's making decisions on a medical level, so forth and so on.
Take control.
What if mom and dad hit somebody, and I basically had been empowered by them.
And I allowed
and
them.
Do I have to document that I had it? Mom and Dad, could you sign this piece of paper saying that I had a conversation with you about giving away your driving?
Right.
So this
or should you somehow have taken – in the same way, again, they become like children. You become the parent of your parent. They become your responsibility, not just to take care of them, but actions that they do, you could be held liable for that. Again, this is cutting-edge stuff. This has not been tested. This is theory only. But this is maybe where we're headed.
Right. And when you start thinking about it in terms of numbers, okay, I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff at you.
Okay.
Because the first thing that I did...
Remember, I'm wearing diapers now, so I'm being gentle.
I'm gonna lob stuff at you.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I don't want anybody
toss.
Accusing abusing you by
That's
throwing
right.
stuff. Okay.
Gently toss it to me here.
Yeah, so I'm just gently tossing it. Here, catch. Okay. But the first thing I did, or that was, you know, we had the keynote speaker...
This is for the Kasem
Care. For the Kasem Care. The conference for people who...
When was this? Last Friday?
It was from the 22nd to the 23rd. So it was Friday and Saturday. It was right here in Orange County at the Hilton Hotel in Costa Mesa, California. Thank you, Hilton. Actually, it was a great venue space, and and they really took good care of us.
How many? It was all day speakers, panels.
Yeah, for 2 days in a row.
Do you have any idea how many people came?
I hope somebody from Case of Care would call. If I was to guess, I would say this was, again, remember, this was our inaugural conference.
Yeah.
I would probably say we had over 200, maybe 300 people.
That's pretty good,
yeah, right? And we had people that were coming in from other states. We had dignitaries. We had people that were political figures, both locally, state level. Like I said, some people even came from other states.
That's
there was law enforcement.
Three to five
legal
people show
industry.
Up. Let's throw that out there. For a first-time event for a young organization, I'd say that's very, very impressive. I was going to say if you had 30 or 40 or 50 people come to these, because this is also a tough conversation, as we know on this show. This is not something everybody goes, oh, boy, let me talk about me getting old.
Well, and there was people from the medical industry, and there were people from the legal industry, or the law industry, legal industry. Yeah, legal department, whatever.
Legal department was there.
What's the proper word?
Legal community.
The legal community. Thank you. Legal community, medical community. Yeah, we're growing leaps and bounds. We have departments now. But here's why that was important.
Yes.
In most cases, on these issues, everybody's in their wheelhouse. And focused on their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So to have opportunities where people from different communities as important as and impacting on senior community as the legal side of it and the medical side of it, to be able to be under one roof, to be able to have somebody connect the dots where those two communities need to have overlap.
Yeah.
And for them to encourage collaboration and working together towards the betterment of the seniors and the quality of life for seniors is huge.
Can I give you a perfect example of that?
Go ahead, please.
We're taping this. For those listening later, this is obviously done at the end of April here.
April, yeah.
And we've had a couple of sudden celebrity deaths that always hit home because they're baby boomers starting to drop here. Prince.
Yep.
Musical star Prince. 57.
Yep.
57 between you and me here. 57 drops dead. Still haven't decided as of today why. Doesn't have a will. Mm-hmm. $300-$500 million estate, doesn't have a will, doesn't have any children, doesn't have any wives. So some estranged sister who was a drug addict is probably going to argue and inherit this whole thing. Do you have a will?
I don't have a will.
See, I don't have a will because I'm not going to die. I'm 60. Come on. A will, that's something old people do. So you talk about legal medicine. Do you have advanced directive, medical directive? What would your wife do if you went in a coma?
Not myself. And Prince is 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
That was very jarring for me.
So medical, legal, things that should be in place, and you think we're arguing about our parents putting them in place, but what about us?
Right. No, and you raise a good point, Paul, because we all think we're invulnerable, that we are basically, nothing's going to touch us, etc. And the problem with that thinking is, just like what happened with Prince, you just don't know. You have no control over this. It could be, who knows?
Did
we ever get the results of the autopsy for Prince?
Okay. They're saying in a week or two they're going to give some preliminary idea, but he literally looked like he had the flu. They landed his plane, took him to a hospital. Whether they took him out or not, because he's a Jehovah's Witness, there's some speculation of that, but whatever happened quick, and suddenly he's dead.
It just blows my mind.
With no estate. No will, no advance directives, none of this stuff that you would assume famous rich people with all these legal beagle advisors would have long ago insisted on.
Yeah, no, and
how does this business
it could happen,
carry on?
I mean, look, what if you were basically a 20-year-old, 20-something in the military?
Oh, well. Yeah.
Right? I'm guilty as charged. I pushed it off. I don't need it. Why would I need it? A, I don't have assets. B, now it's only me. As long as I got it covered, blah, blah, blah. So you pick up a little insurance. You do a couple of things like that. Then you get married, and the reality changes, and so forth. But I think we as human beings have a tendency to procrastinate on stuff like this. It's difficult.
Big
we don't
time.
Want to talk about it. A potential additional cost, et cetera, et cetera.
So here you and I participating in this show, trying to get people to wake up, and we don't have some of the basic elements in place. Neither of us have a will.
But I think the first step is to acknowledge.
Right, yeah.
Wasn't it that first step of recovery is basically own it?
Knowledge,
well,
you got a problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the thing about this conference that was powerful, like I said, is it brought together people that were maybe operating with the best intentions towards a common goal, but they were operating separately.
Yes.
And it brought them together under one roof. Now, there's been a lot of conferences on aging. There's been a lot of conferences that, in my opinion, are care-driven.
Yeah, right.
And the care component was there. We talked about that. We talked about alternative forms for, you know, how to deal with dementia, for example. And I'll touch on some of that in a bit. But the thing that was very fascinating for me is that the topics that were, you know, covered in this conference were not what you would normally see.
So give me some examples.
I'm going to read a couple of them from the conference schedule.
We got 2 minutes to break here.
Okay. So we had the alternative and holistic care for dementia patients, which is the one that I moderated.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled on people from the care industry. We pulled in people from the sort of, what would you call it, the advocacy community, the Alzheimer's and what have you, and then some people from the private care providing side of it. We had navigating the legal system. Okay,
yeah.
Because you could talk to 4 lawyers about elder abuse, and Carrie's experience was part of this until she came across Troy Martin.
4 different definitions, yeah.
Attorney Troy Martin, who basically has been instrumental. He's an elder law attorney. If you guys ever need anybody to look out for your best interest when it comes to something like that specifically, Troy Martin is the guy to talk to.
Okay.
And then Martha Patterson is another one that have been instrumental in the success of these bills. Navigating the legal system, because some lawyers will tell you, this is the best result you're going to get. No,
yeah.
You're not going to get anything, right, if it's not their expertise. Socialization for seniors. Putting them in a house somewhere or putting them something like that forms a form of shut-in. We as human beings are social animals. We need to basically have that component as part of our care. Innovation to drive change when it comes to actually the future of aging. Policies that encourage elder abuse, and how do we combat them?
We have policies that encourage it.
Yes.
Wow.
Right, and this is the lady who had that was Linda Kincaid, who is a co-chair of Coalition for Elder and Dependent Adult Rights. Fighting Isolation was another one. And as like I said, you know, there's a movie that's being put together for talking about isolation.
That's a big issue. There's a lot of people right now in this county, right in your neighborhood, and you don't even know them. They're sitting shut in.
Right.
Nobody talks to them. Nobody sees them.
Right. The interesting thing is we also had then, you know, planning for retirement. Mm-hmm. We had things like that. But combating money transfer scams.
Oh, that's big. We had the district attorney and one of the assistant district attorneys in, and she specializes in that. And how, just massive scams targeted
the numbers,
at elders.
The numbers are crazy. I mean, the gentleman who actually presented that, did that presentation, a senior fraud manager for Western Union, John Skokland, I think is the way the last name is read. And then, they had the intersection of the legal and medical world.
Can I give you one crazy one that she brought up? This was, I'm trying to get her name. Megan, I forgot her last name now. Megan is her first. I know she's running for a judgeship here, but fascinating woman. She's married to Assemblyman Don Wagner. And, so I guess Megan Wagner, there you go. She told us one that blew my mind. Let's say you take grandma into a nursing home for a while. So grandma owns a house. She can't live there anymore. You move her into a nursing home. And nobody thinks about, well, we'll just leave the house there. We're not going to sell it. Maybe grandma will come home or whatever. It's still grandma's house. I don't own the house until grandma dies. So grandma's house sits there empty. And you can't really rent it. It's grandma's house. And maybe it's a little run down or filled with all sorts of tchotchkes and stuff. So grandma's house sits empty for 6 months or a year while everybody's trying to figure out what's next.
Right.
Some smart scamster realizes that house is empty. And they might even find out through various ways, social media and whatnot, that grandma's in a nursing home.
Right.
They walk down. Listen to this. They walk down to the county registrar's office, and they say, that house, I bought it. I inherited it. I got it. It's mine. Now, grandma's not dead. Grandma's not anything. But you just boldly walk in and say, that house is mine. They send a notice to the house saying someone has come in claiming that this is their house now, but nobody's picking up grandma's mail. Grandma's mail is just piling up, or it's all getting thrown in a basket or something. It may not be looked at.
Yeah.
And they may or may not even follow. Sometimes they don't even follow up quickly and do that. They just record that deed in somebody else's name. You literally walk in and say, that house is mine, and they say, okay, and they publish it in the newspaper, and nobody challenges it, and that person then goes out and sells it or takes a loan out against it. And all of a sudden, grandma dies, and you start to probate the estate, and you find out somebody else claims they own the house and, in fact, took a loan, in fact, sold the house. And you're like, what? And it's just a total scam, because they realize in this hour of difficulty, it's easy to walk in and claim it. Grandma's not going to notice it. You're not going to notice it. And by the time somebody finds out, they've taken the money and run.
Yeah. And what are you going to do about it? I mean, by the time you find out, if you even find out, right?
Yeah.
Is only when you have a transaction that you might want to exercise.
And Megan's husband, Assemblyman Don Wagner, actually introduced a bill, because when you did find out, you had to go to two courts. One, you had to challenge it and prove it was fraud.
Yep.
And then you had a separate, that's a criminal action, then you had to go through a civil court to reclaim the deed. So you had to do two lawyers, two transactions. It took forever. It took a ton of money to get back your own house that somebody just walked down to the court and stole.
Well, and then add the complexity if somebody is not, you know, let's say grandma is still alive, but that she has some form of dementia.
Yeah.
Right? They are vulnerable all the way through.
Well, sure. We all know that people call them up and they get their money, get them to sign over things, get them to do things. But this was the boldest one. This is, you don't even know it. They just notice that house is empty and they go claim it. And by the time you figure it out, they've taken the money and run.
Well, and I mean, the numbers are staggering. And I'll try to find some numbers during the break. But the numbers on elder abuse and elder scam are staggering.
Yeah.
I want to give everybody a chance to follow us on Facebook, and I also want to encourage everybody to go to kasemcare.org and join me, please. I meant to say it earlier, but I didn't get a chance. Casey Kasem would have been 84 years old today.
Today, wow. What a day to talk about this.
A year ago today is when we were having the first, I believe, major fundraiser for Kasem Cares. And it was at the Packing House in Anaheim.
I remember.
And yeah. I want to give a shout out to Shaheen Sadeghi and Linda Sadeghi for, thank you, giving us the use of Cook's Chapel, which is the event space underneath in the lower area of the Packing House. That was a unbelievable event, and what a kickoff. And that was a year ago. So today is both the anniversary of that first fundraiser for Kasem Care. And it's also Casey Kasem's 84th birthday. Okay? Now, I remember Casey on the radio. I remember listening to him. But I also, being an Arab American, I also remember Casey being very involved in, he really lended his voice not only to the radio in terms of entertainment, which he was phenomenal in my book, nobody compares to him. But he also lended his voice to those who had no voice. He also lended his voice to people who are unable to speak for themselves for whatever reason. And I think it is amazingly, whether you want to call it irony or fortuitous or just serendipity, that there's an organization, unfortunately because of what happened with him personally, but there's an organization that continues in the spirit of Casey Kasem and through his daughter. My God, is Carrie Casey's daughter. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So
let's go take a quick break and let that.
I would like everybody to please, while we're at the break, visit kasemcare.org, take the pledge, consider donating, and we'll talk a little bit more after the break.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out? or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
All right. We're back.
We're back, and I know that one of the ladies that I mentioned earlier, Carrie Jones, is on the phone with us, right?
I think you are. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi. Thank you for having me back on the air. This is amazing. I'm very honored that I was your first guest. Carrie Kasem and I were your first guests.
You definitely were. It was great seeing you last week, Carrie.
And we always say we always remember our first.
We always remember our first on this show. So, and I mentioned actually that when we first, I don't know if you've been listening or not, but I mentioned that when we first started the show and how interesting that today, which we knew last year when we did this, but today is both Casey Kasem's birthday, would have been his 84th, and today is the one-year anniversary on that fundraiser that we had, the successful fundraiser that we had for Kasem Care.
And a couple days after your first conference. Yeah, it all sort of fits together.
And then, and here we are basically just kind of doing a summary on the conference that just took place, which is an amazing conference. Let me start off with this. I shared your story a little bit. You might, if you wouldn't mind, just sharing a little bit about your personal story with elder abuse.
What pulled you into this? Because you're not in the age bracket where this is even on the radar for most people.
I know. I'm 34, so I had never even knew what elder abuse was. Sharing a little bit of my backstory. I started taking care of my great uncle after I had received a call from my family saying that they could not locate him. And I went to four different nursing homes and 4 different hospitals and around 30 different nursing
30,
homes.
30, and 30, wow.
Yes.
Find him.
It took me about 2 weeks. His second wife, who he married, she refused to let us know where he was. So I just started having to go walk up and down the halls of these facilities because they're not allowed to tell you whether your relative is there or not because of the HIPAA law. So, yeah, it took me about 2 weeks, and finally I found him after probably the 30th place, and I saw his nameplate on the door, and he was sitting in his wheelchair. No, he didn't have his own clothes. He didn't have his glasses. He didn't have any identification. And the first words that he said to me was, I was beginning to think no one would find me.
Isn't that amazing?
Jeez.
And so from that moment on, my life completely changed.
Fact that his second wife could completely take him away from the rest of his family.
Well,
if she so desired. Yeah.
Absolutely, but it got worse from there. So I started visiting him probably 5 times a week. At this facility, and obviously, you know, he had no children, and I was his only blood relative in California.
Right.
And he began to tell me the cycle of abuse that had happened to him. His wife would beat him with a cane anytime they would have a disagreement. And so one day his wife had called the nursing home, and the staff let her know that I had been coming to visit him. And they were happy that a family member was coming.
Yeah.
However, his wife, she lost it. So she brought her brother in and pulled him out of that nursing home as I was standing there, and she screamed at me, "You are nobody. You are nothing. You are just a niece." And I had to watch him being taken from there against all doctors' wishes.
Probably against his wishes, too. Or, yeah.
Well, he didn't say anything because he, you know, he'd been isolated.
Right.
He basically just cowered in her presence. So that was probably the worst part. So after she pulled him out of the nursing home, I continued to go to their home to bring groceries. Mm-hmm. And just, even though, you know, she didn't want me there, maybe 4 weeks later, I received a call from her saying that my uncle had fallen. Which I tend to know better, considering what he had informed me about, you know, their previous abuse history that she had done to him.
Right.
And when I arrived, it just looked like a murder scene. There was blood all over, and he came out, and his face was wrapped in masking tape. and
masking tape.
She didn't even bother. She didn't bother with Band-Aids.
Yeah.
So at that moment, she told me, "Do not call the paramedics." I asked my uncle. I said, "We need to go to the hospital. Do you want to go?" And he said, "Yes." So he came with me, and then he signed power of attorney over to me, and I was able to take care of him until he passed away peacefully in his sleep, knowing that all of his family was around and cared about him.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, and Carrie, if you don't mind, I just want to point out, too, that her uncle's reaction to his wife as a sort of primary caregiver and as a result amplified by the isolation that is... You know, we say you got to stop isolation. Isolation is the killer. It's elder abuse. Isolation is elder abuse. Okay, is that victim becomes dependent?
Oh, for everything.
And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was what was so difficult for me to watch, because whenever I would come to visit him, I mean, his eyes would light up. He talked freely and openly, and we developed just such an amazing, amazing bond and relationship. I'm so grateful for that opportunity. But when she walked through the door, he became a completely different person. He put his head down. He didn't dare talk above her. She was calling the shots, and that was very clear. And so now I understand what isolation is. When you isolate somebody for so long, And you're dependent on that person who's, you know, keeping you away from your family, you really don't have a voice anymore.
That's
why raising this awareness is so important.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think this woman, obviously you probably don't think well of her, but was she always mean to him, or was she just get frustrated because he deteriorated? Because I saw this with my wife had an uncle. And they had a loving, long relationship until the end. And then she really started saying, "I can't put up with this anymore." And he's always doing it. She's old, too. So she's getting old and cranky, and he's peeing in his pants, and she won't put up with it. And they separated
it. Absolutely.
They fell apart, and they were screaming at each other and ugliness and all this stuff for what was, by all determination, a long-term, loving relationship that fell apart in the end under the stress of them both suffering problems, age, anger, frustration, and she was supposedly the stronger of the two and said, "I'm done."
That wasn't really the case with my uncle from what he explained to me. Another backstory with him is his first wife, he married his first wife who was from Colombia, and they were married for around 25 years, and she passed away. Mm-hmm. And waiting in the wings was another woman from Bogota, Colombia. And she was not his first wife. She was horrible. And 4 years after they were married, he was hit in the back of the head with a 2x4. And no police report was filed, nothing.
Yep.
And I asked him what happened. He was in a coma for a month. And
so this is a violent woman,
I asked him what had happened, and he said that he was told that he was hit in the back of the head by a neighbor's son. Well, there's no police report filed, so that obviously we obviously knew things didn't quite add up there. But after that, he being in a coma for a month and then having to be sent back home with his second wife and being under her control, the abuse pattern just got worse.
And I'm going to assume this is not a wealthy person, because people assume, well, the people are fighting over the money and stuff. In so many of these cases, not the money at all. I don't know what they're fighting over.
Well, and some of the things that was shared by some of the survivors at the conference. Thanks, Gary, for taking part in that. By the way, it was a very powerful panel. That was near the end there on Saturday, where was a bunch of survivors. As the Rooney sisters were there, Carrie Kaysen was there, and who else was on that panel? There was a bunch of other people on that panel too, Carrie, right?
Yes, Kathy White Braun. She was, she's one of the key players with the Kaysen Cares Foundation.
Right.
It was such a powerful.
Billy Belshi, I think, was there. Yeah.
But what I really love is that all of us survivors, or being, victims and now survivors, we've all become like family.
Right.
Because our stories are so similar. And I forget who it was. Somebody made the comment on the panel on Saturday about how it's almost like these abusers have an application on their phone on what to do to
right.
abuse.
Yeah, yeah, it's a how to abuse by numbers, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. And all of our stories are so similar. And it's just been such a blessing to be a part of the Kasem Cares Foundation, because it gives all of us survivors an outlet and a voice for us to be heard and hopefully help.
So there must be others within the sound of this podcast and radio show that have similar experiences. How do they reach out and join the Kasem Cares?
Yeah, why don't you give I gave the website before, Carrie, but why don't you do the same? I've been urging people to take the pledge and then also go make a donation. This is an amazing organization for people to be involved in and to support such a... It's an epidemic. It really is an epidemic, a silent epidemic.
Silent epidemic.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a silent epidemic. Absolutely.
So how do people find Kasem Cares, Carrie?
Go to www.kasemcares.org, mm-hmm. and you can share your story there. There's a number that you can call. How I reached out to them is I just wrote in, and next thing I know, I'm a part of this wonderful organization. But if anything, just go to the website. You can learn more information. You can hear other people's story, and just get involved and make your voices be heard. So again, it's www.kasemcares.org.
Okay. And please, while we're continuing this show here a little bit longer, go check it out. Like I said, take the pledge, share this on your social media platforms if you're listening. This is something that impacts all of us or people that we care about one way or the other. And like I said, up to a year ago, before Kasem Care really took this on as and championed this much, much needed effort to get rid of the silent epidemic, to stop elder abuse, to do that in a systematic way, there were no laws on any of the books in any of the states that provided legal visitation rights to children for their parents.
Now, that wouldn't have helped Carrie's case, because she wasn't a child. She was a niece, right? So,
Absolutely. But what I'm confident in is just seeing in the past year how Kasem Cares has grown.
Right.
We eventually want to start tackling other issues. You know, we want to be the outlet for, you know, for change when it comes to any sort of elder abuse.
Yeah, right.
So I'm confident in it. And even though the visitation bill, it's still a stepping stone to where we really want to end up.
Right. And it's a very important stepping stone, because it you know, a year ago, we weren't talking about isolation. You know, there's constant awareness of the nuances that are involved in this elder abuse, this epidemic, mm-hmm. that is basically not only silent, but in most cases hidden. So to really sort of just take the scab off this and just basically look at the ugly side of this, and to point it out and to do it in such an empowering manner that this organization has done, to where today we have at least 6 states that have solid laws on the books that guarantee that visitation that you can ask for. That's an amazing situation. Carrie,
it's also so amazing, because you know what that visitation bill does. Do you know how much a conservatorship cost to try to get a conservatorship over somebody? I mean, you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. And this visitation bill gives people the opportunity to not have to go in and pay that money. This allows a judge to say, yes, you are allowed to go see your mom or your dad.
Yep. Yeah. Carrie, we've got a few more minutes, and I want to bring in Cameron Glenar to just talk about that isolation movie. I know he's holding off. So thank you so much for calling. And I'd love to have you back in here or call in at any time.
Come on in, share the work of the organization.
Really great to see you over the week.
And
last week.
Very impressed that somebody in your position, I know you've got an entertainment career of your own and all sorts of other things here. At your age, to be dedicated to this and to feel so passionate about it is a powerful statement.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me, and I look forward to coming back on the show in the future.
Thanks, okay. Gary. Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye. Like I said, I've got Cameron. He's going to be calling in here in a minute. I know we're almost at the deadline, but I really think it's important to get this word out about this movie. So hopefully, Cameron will call in.
If not, we'll get him on the next.
We'll get it. He will be on the show.
Maybe him, right?
He will be on the show with his wife Natalie, who's involved with Kasem Care, at a future show. But if Cameron's on the line, let's get him on here.
Are you on, Cameron? Is this Cameron?
This is Cameron.
Hey, Cameron. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We're down to the last couple minutes of the show. We just wanted to get you to do a shout-out about this project you're doing.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. I really appreciate it, and I've been listening to the whole show, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time to discuss it. It's a terrible thing that's happening, but we're all doing the best we can.
We're trying to bring it to light, so what are you doing?
Well, the reason that I'm involved is because my father was isolated from all of his friends and family for the last 5 years of his life. Hmm. The person that did it, I guarantee it wasn't the, I have reason to believe it wasn't the first time she did it. After my father died, I have reason to believe that she went on to do this to somebody else.
Oh, my goodness.
And she walked away with my dad and his brother's entire estate.
They call these women black widows. They marry these widows in their later life and befriend them and bewitch them and then all of a sudden take over their money. That's their whole purpose.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this was a mother and daughter team that did this to my father. The daughter is a real estate agent.
Yep.
And while my dad was living in an Alzheimer's home, none of my dad's friends and family, nobody had any idea that my father was in an Alzheimer's home. She had everybody believing that he was living with her by choice and not talking to anybody by choice.
Wow. And then they got married, so she used the power of spouse to...
Oh, no. No, 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 no. She never married him because she didn't want to give up her ex-husband's pension.
Oh, Jesus.
Right.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So like I said, we pick on the spouses, but it's not only the spouse that could be abusive.
Oh, no. It's not only the spouses. In fact, it can be any, from what I'm learning, it can be anybody.
How did she find your father? Do they troll? Do they look for these victims?
6 months after this woman's husband died, she met my dad and moved my dad into her home.
Yikes.
And my dad... along with his brother, had inherited a large piece of property on Catalina Island.
Oh, wow,
My great-grandfather went to Catalina Island in 1887.
Oh, geez.
And he went there as a carpenter, bought a large hill from William Wrigley for 10 gold pieces.
10 gold pieces, oh my goodness.
10 gold pieces, started building the family, built a large family home at the top of the hill, and a hotel at the bottom of the hill, and this got passed on from one family member to the next. It ended up with my father, and he and his brother decided to put it up for sale back in 2003.
Yeah. And she got the money.
They ended up selling it, but it was to this woman's daughter's employer, who was a contractor.
Yikes.
So they started gaining control since day one, basically. And my uncle hated this person and really believed that my uncle was afraid for his life.
Yikes.
He was afraid that...
Yeah, black widows, they're predators. They find these old men, they take them for what they got, and then if they don't kill them, they lock them up and isolate them until they die.
Exactly.
So you're making a movie or something about this? Or?
Yeah. Share the link. Share the link to the movie and the trailer if you can.
Sure. Well, I just happen to be a television producer, and I decided that I wanted to just create awareness about this.
Right.
So I'm sharing my story, and I'm going around interviewing hundreds of people around the country, and interviewing experts like Troy Martin, who you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, the attorney.
And talking with law enforcement, and I have an interview coming up with Paul Greenwood, district attorney down in San Diego, who is a champion on fighting elder abuse.
We should have him on the show. We should get him on the show sometime,
Absolutely. He's a great guy. But I'm about 6 months into it, and I approached Carrie Kasem on the idea, and she absolutely loved it. She signed on as a producer right away. So we are in the middle of production now, and
give us the website, and we're going to have to cut it off here and leave it there.
I'm sharing the link to your Kickstarter account too on the Rad Life on Facebook, Cameron. So, and I'll tag you in it. But please go ahead and
give us the site.
Yeah. So if anybody would like to see the trailer, please go to isolateddocumentary.com, and you can share your own story there. We also have the Kickstarter, like you've been talking about, and we're in the middle of the campaign right now and trying to find the funding to help complete the project.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just go to Kickstarter and in the search bar type in isolated documentary, and you will find us there.
Powerful
stuff.
So
anybody that wants to take a look, I'd really appreciate
well,
it.
Well, let's keep us, when the Kickstarter campaign's over, if you're successful in doing this, why don't you come back and talk about this and give
us some... I already promised, Cameron, I think I would love to have you and your lovely wife, Natalie, on the show in a month or so, and we can maybe review the Kickstarter program. And if you think of anybody that you should have call in on this specific topic, because I think it's extremely important to really shed a light on this.
Introduce us to, like, the district attorney or whatever. Hey, we got to go, folks.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Cameron, for calling in. I know it was short, but I think it was very important. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, powerful stuff. Kasem Care Foundation.
KasemCare.org. And the Kickstarter account, and I'm putting both of these on the Rad Life Facebook page right now. Please, please consider taking the pledge for Kasem Care. Do it. Become a monthly donor. There's multiple levels. It's very important. It may save the life of somebody you really care about. And then also help, maybe if you can, with The Isolated is the movie that Cameron's putting together. Powerful stuff, empowering stuff, and we'll see you guys next week.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.